here this morning, and thanks very much, Tim. And for those that participated in the accompaniment, it's just a great joy. It's always wonderful to sing. John, thanks very much, and the rest. That's wonderful. And good morning, and it's a great delight to be here this morning. Normally, I would say, and Mary brings greetings, but she's actually here, so she can give her own greeting. That's wonderful. That's a very rare treat for me, but it's a great delight. So we're in Matthew chapter 12, and invite you to turn to that passage. We're going to read the first 8 verses. Before we do, just a reminder that the Gospels provide accounts of Jesus' life and his ministry. But each cover many of the same experiences, but often from different perspectives. And it really helps us get a complete picture of his ministry and his life. And of course, there are some incidences that one would mention, but the others don't. And so it's wonderful to study the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it must be done looking at all 4 Gospels. Now, Matthew, his audience was primarily a Jewish audience. In fact, if you study deeply, you'll see at least 130 allusions to the Old Testament, and a Gentile audience certainly wouldn't notice or even care about that. So we recognize that Matthew was really writing to primarily a Jewish audience. The other kind of neat thing that you see in this is that the other Gospels frequently use the phrase kingdom of God. But Matthew is very careful, and he says or uses the phrase kingdom of heaven. Now, they mean the same, but because of the Jewish audience, they were very keen and revered the name of God, and so they wouldn't misuse it. And so you see Matthew using the phrase kingdom of heaven 32 times, as a matter of fact. And Matthew is the only book to point out that Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And that not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Let's read the first 8 verses of Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. Now, again, as we read this, try to imagine, picture in your mind what is going on here. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples do what is not as lawful to do on the Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he became hungry, and he and his companions, how they entered the house of God and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priests alone? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? But I say to you, there is something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire compassion and not a sacrifice,' you would have condemned the innocent." And we trust the Lord to add his blessing in the reading of Scripture, and we'll look at other portions of Matthew chapter 12. As this continues to unfold, we see Jesus revealing more of who he is and what he came to do. But I want you to sense that there is a growing and mounting crisis of rejection, of opposition, of hostility, of malice, primarily by the Pharisees. And here we have an encounter that occurs on the Sabbath. It's a Sabbath controversy. Boy, don't we all enjoy weekends? Thank the Lord for weekends. And here we have, in the verse 8, Jesus states that he is Lord of the Sabbath. Now, Sabbath means day of rest. On the seventh day of creation, the last day of creation, God rested and made that day holy or set apart. And later he would give Sabbath keeping as one of the 10 commandments. But I want us to understand that it was not a burdensome obligation, but a blessing to the Israelites whom God had rescued from the slave labor in Egypt. And it's very clear from Acts chapter 17, that the early church kept the Sabbath just as the Jews had kept the Sabbath. And the Sabbath begins at sunset on Friday and finishes with sunset on Saturday. You've heard the phrase TGIF. Many would say, thank God it's Friday. I think I would change it and say, thank goodness it's Friday. We all know what that means. So where does Sunday come into all of this? Well, Sunday is the first day of the week. Sunday is the day that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That was a great reminder that we enjoyed last week. It's the Lord's Day, but nowhere in the Bible do we find that Sunday is now the Sabbath day. It's a day that Christians most likely were meeting, and we find great evidence of that in Acts and 1 Corinthians. But in AD 321, it was Constantine who decreed a day of rest for all of Rome to be held on Sunday. And this seems to reflect the reality and a desire to adopt what Christians had practiced for nearly 2.5 centuries in celebrating the resurrection of the Lord. So when we say TGIF, I guess we're saying it's literal. It's literal, but the focal point isn't the day of legal worship. No, Jesus is the point, and coming to him, receiving him as Savior and Lord, that is everything. That is everything. And Matthew wants us to know him as the prophesied Messiah and find rest and hope and victory in him today. Thank you for singing that song, Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. And so we see here at the beginning of chapter 12, evidence of that growing conflict over the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We finish chapter 11, concluding with coming to Jesus to find rest. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And now it's the Sabbath. The day about rest. It's all about rest, the Sabbath. And Jesus and his disciples are walking by a grain field. It happens to be the Sabbath. I don't know if this was done in a deliberate sort of way. The scriptures don't reveal that. But it's clear they were hungry. I want to believe that their stomachs were growling. And what do hungry men do? Well, ask Doug. You can ask Tim. You can ask John. Yeah, you eat. And that's what these disciples did. They see the grain in the fields, and they pick the ears of grain, and they eat. Now, it's not stealing, at least in those days. It's not stealing, as one might consider, taking somebody else's yield of crop. I can remember as a young kid driving by cornfields and seeing these great big ears of corn. And, you know, I'd say to Dad, just pull over. We'll grab a few. He goes, we're not going to do that. The farmer will come out with his shotgun. So I always had this fear in my mind that it was stealing. But, you know, in the Jewish law, it was provision that people could glean. They could glean from a neighbor's field as long as they didn't use a sickle. And you have to go back to Deuteronomy 23, verse 25 to get that evidence. But you know, the Pharisees were nearby, and the Pharisees are very legalistic. And it's true that the rabbis added many rules and regulations beyond that which we read in Scripture. In fact, if you study this, apparently they developed 39 main types of work that were forbidden on the Sabbath. And then from that, they created 6 subgroups. And subgroup number 3 was no reaping, no reaping on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees, this legalistic bunch, charged the Lord and his disciples that the Sabbath had been broken. Now, it doesn't take much to think of what's going on here. As you harvest the grain, there's violation number one. Then you would probably rub the grain between your hands as a measure of threshing for the purpose of separating the grain from the chaff. And then the third evidence of work would be winnowing and giving an opportunity for the separation to take place between the grains of wheat and the chaff that surrounds that grain. Mary and I had the interesting experience of visiting a person from our chapel who happened to be in hospital. And I don't remember what floor it was, but let's use our imagination and say it was the 12th floor. And we got onto an elevator, but we didn't know that it was an elevator specifically designated as a Shabbat elevator or a Sabbath elevator. We got in, the doors closed, and we went to floor one, and it stopped. Nobody got on, nobody got off. Doors closed, went to floor number two. Same thing, nobody got on and nobody got off. I don't know what floor we realized that we were on an elevator specifically designated as a Sabbath elevator, but I think we got off and found a proper elevator. We were just totally unaware. Stopped at every floor, all the way up and all the way down. Why? Well, to press a button to call for an elevator is considered work. And to send an electrical impulse to a control box is work. But there was to be no work on the Sabbath, because the Sabbath is a day of rest. And you know, we recognize just how critically important it is that life is full of rules and laws. We have tax laws. Oh boy, I just hit a nerve. I saw everybody jump, but you have till the 18th, so you're in good shape. Tax laws, there's property laws, there's traffic laws, there's laws related to marriage and family. But God